Welcome back to the Complexity Premier podcast. And my name is Chris Joy. I'm a portfolio manager at Coolabah Capital Investments. And I'm joined today by Yingyi and Cheng, who's a portfolio management director. So Yingyi, let's crack on. Last week, we were presented with some really powerful data demonstrating that central banks are repeating past mistakes by actively encouraging a re-acceleration in consumer price pressures through their very dovish prognostications. Indeed, it's even plausible that Australia's central bank, the RBA, could be forced to fall into line with peers and raise rates once again. Now, Yingyi, back in 2021, policymakers repeatedly assured us that the massive inflation shock at that time was only transitory because of its ephemeral supply side origins. Yet, as we warned, they discovered that they were embroiled in a multi-year protracted battle against demand side inflation fueled by their own hyper-stimulatory monetary and fiscal policies. Unfortunately, history is repeating itself. In late 2023, so last year and this year, the central banks have again ironically hinged their hopes on the same transitory goods price deflation or disinflation as supply chains reopened to buttress their belief that they had slayed the inflation dragon, paving the way for generous interest rate cuts this year. This, of course, precipitated the mother of all risk rallies in the form of soaring equities, bonds, crypto, and house prices, amongst many other things. Nonetheless, demand-side-driven services inflation, running at more than twice its normal levels, Yingyi, has eviscerated these dovish interest rate expectations, which for now, risky asset prices are blindly seeking to ignore.
Yeah, Chris. Look, the frustrating thing is that both the 2021 and 2023 to 2024 mistakes were to a high degree avoidable. So prudent economic modelling has consistently warned that ultra-tight labour markets would power unsustainably strong wage growth that obliges services businesses to jack up the price of their wares. Any lay business owner can now see that we are on the precipice of an insidious wage price spiral, which the Fair Work Commission's deliberations could shortly amplify. The concern is that the longer central banks take to restore price stability, Chris, as you know, the more difficult the task becomes as elevated consumer inflation expectations and hence future wage claims get more deeply entrenched. And frankly, Chris, I think it's fair to say that the RBA and the Fed were humiliated last week by data blowing their dovish predispositions out of the water. In the March quarter, core inflation in Australia expanded by 1%, or 4.1% on an annualized basis after a 3.2% rise in the December quarter, above the consensus projection for a 0.8% bump. Over the 12 months to March, we've seen this trimmed mean measure of inflation climb by 4%, which, by the way, is significantly above the RBA's 2.5% target.
Yeah, Yingyi, and I thought what was even more distressing for the RBA, the market, and investors such as ourselves is that the ABS's new monthly as opposed to quarterly inflation gauge implies that core inflation is likely to remain elevated in the second quarter or the June quarter, pointing to another rapid increase of 0.9% or more. Put differently, inflation is all but certain to stay hot for the foreseeable future. And Yingyi, when we decompose the underlying drivers of inflation, they clearly reveal that we face a long-term battle to get it under control. Based on the ABS's data, we've developed an experimental core services inflation proxy, and that accelerated, Yingyi, from 0.9% in the December quarter to 1.5% in March. Or on an annualized basis, it accelerated from 3.6% in the December quarter to 6.1% in the March quarter. And this is the largest quarterly increase in core services inflation in Australia that our benchmark has recorded since it started in 2000.
And Chris, as we've been pointing out for a while, this is a global phenomenon. Core services inflation in Australia, New Zealand, and the US is running at 6-7% as a consequence of similarly strong wage growth, which is about double the pace that prevailed before the pandemic when central banks were actually hitting their targets. Juxtaposed against rampant services prices was more modest Aussie goods inflation of only 0.6% in the March quarter, which kept the overall inflation rate lower than it might otherwise be. Bear in mind, though, that neither Australia nor New Zealand are benefiting from the outright goods deflation, i.e. declining prices that we're seeing in the US.
Yeah, Yingyi, and it's also, I think, very interesting that we're seeing a lot of global synchronicity in services inflation running at 6-7% in Australia, New Zealand, and the US. The RBA's challenge will, of course, be further exacerbated by the fact that the income tax cuts in July will be the equivalent to around 325 basis point interest rate cuts or 75 basis points of cuts in total. This assumes they're fully spent by households. Now, that obviously represents an unhelpful injection of stimulus at a time when we're grappling with the worst inflation crisis in decades. If Martin Place is intellectually honest, which to be clear is never a sure thing, years, the March quarter inflation shock should mechanically result in an upgrade to its inflation forecasts, such that it would not be able to realistically secure its 2.5% inflation target until late 2026. This is an absurdly long timeframe and undermines the RBA's already embattled inflation fighting credibility. Taking until the second half of 2026 to hit its inflation target would also be at complete odds with the RBA repeatedly stressing that, quote, returning inflation to target within a reasonable timeframe remains the board's highest priority. Arguably, the best interest rate strategist, I think, in the market, Yingers, is Barron Joey's Andrew Lilley, and he asserts that the RBA are very close to hiking. He describes it as, quote unquote, a line ball call. And Yingers, Lilley has approved us extracting a few quotes from his research. So Lilley says, quote, the unemployment rate has come in 20 basis points below the RBA's forecast, while trim mean inflation has come in 20 basis points above. These are the two things that the RBA targets, and a standard monetary policy rule would say that you need to hike for surprises this large. If the RBA truly has a low tolerance for inflation taking longer than is currently forecast to return to its target band, then they should hike 18 months before this period is realized. This would be a hike at the May or June meetings. So Lilley clearly thinks it's possible, perhaps not probable, but certainly possible, that they hike.
And of course, Chris, it would be an enormous surprise to markets if the RBA actually did what it should do, which is precisely why its credibility is shot. The added complication here is that the RBA has set its 4.35% policy rate way below the 5 to 5.5% range imposed by its key global peers, such as Britain, Canada, New Zealand, and the US. And as we've often spoken about, the RBA's own macro models and those of central banks like the Fed, which we run, recommend that the Aussie economy needs a cash rate of around 5% right now.
Yeah, Yingers, we think that the high inflation combined with a very low 3.8% unemployment rate in Australia should see the RBA backtrack on its neutral policy stance and resume warning that it could raise rates again, which is something that our analysis has suggested they should have delivered on last year. As the former Bank of England Governor Mervyn King once said, if you know what your next move should be, then you likely have the wrong rate right now. And Kieran Davies, our chief macro strategist, Yingers, has pointed out that whilst our policy rule research, including running the RBA's Martin macro model, which embeds a version of the Taylor rule model, implied that it should have followed its peers and lifted its cash rate to 5%, Martin Place has purposefully decided to raise rates by less than its own outlook would recommend was required to limit the damage to unemployment. And I think here one can only speculate that this is the deal that the RBA has done with the devil that is its political masters to get an insider appointed as governor. Obviously, at the time of the appointment of Michelle Bullock as the RBA's governor, it was speculated that the front runner was actually an outsider, not an insider. So the insider appointment was quite a surprise.
And Chris, we saw last Thursday night that the Fed received its own sharp slap across the chops. Its preferred core PCE benchmark for inflation printed at 3.7% annualized compared to consensus expectations of 3.4%. This hints at a strong March monthly result, which was confirmed by a 0.32% core PCE inflation jump during Friday's US session, combined with upward revisions to the January and February data.
Yeah, Yingers, and we were obviously watching the data live. When I say we, I really mean the royal we. I'm obviously talking to our 44 executives and specifically our 12 traders and 16 analysts. Following the quarterly inflation numbers that came out last week, one senior US bank bond trader wrote that if we weren't in an election year, we would still very much be in a hiking cycle. Clearly, the Fed does not need to cut. The labor market is incredibly tight. The financials conditions index is as easy as ever, and inflation is heading in the wrong direction, end quote. The US 10-year government bond yield, Yingers, which is the global price of money, extended its march towards 5% last week, breaching the influential 4.7% technical barrier for the first time since October last year. On the day of the quarterly inflation data coming out, Whilst equities did react negatively, initially slumping as much as 1.6%, they actually only closed down 0.6% as investors kept their heads firmly implanted in the sand. Indeed, the market really feels, Ying, is like it's trading quite long and trying to defend this position, relentlessly reflexing into the hopium encouraged by reckless central bank rhetoric that rate relief is always just around the corner. And of course, if you're DCFing equity values over 10 plus year timeframes, whether the Fed cuts now in 6 months or in 12 months really doesn't impact materially those valuations. Naturally, if there is a serious regime change, if the Fed, heaven forbid, has to contemplate hiking again, and if the RBA has to follow suit, something will have to give, and that could manifest in the form of very serious downside risk. All eyes now turn to the next batch of inflation data out of the US. So this will be the April month data. We'll get a first reading on that through the very important and influential CPI release that should be out in the middle of May. In our own portfolios, whilst returns have been very strong, with our more aggressive strategies returning 13 to 14% net of all retail fees over the 12 months to March, we've stayed also quite defensive, taking profits over the last 3 to 6 months and also taking out explicit insurance against adverse events. If you have any questions about these market moves and the gyrations in bonds and equities or our own portfolios, please don't hesitate to reach out and email us at info@coolabarcapital.com. If we receive any good questions that we think are worthy of kind of more public ventilation, Ying, as we might run through them on the next episode of the podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you later.
This podcast does not provide financial advice. It is not an invitation to invest in any financial product, and the information in it should not be relied on for any decisions. All views expressed represent the personal opinions of the speaker and do not represent the view of any other party. If this recording contains reference to any financial products, that reference does not constitute advice or a recommendation and should not be relied upon. Listeners in Australia are encouraged to visit the moneysmart.gov.au website to obtain information regarding financial advice and investments.